Thanks, Kane. 808 on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. Unemployment numbers are down. Very competitive hiring market out there. And if you're a small business owner, you know that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. That's why it's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who sees those posts? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike those job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. Insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you get online and go to linkedin.com/WAVH, they'll give you $50 off your first job post. Once again, that's linkedin.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, day 10, FM Talk 106.5, and welcoming back to the show, Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you. I want to say this, and we've talked about it in private, but I want to say from all of us here at FM Talk 106.5 how deeply saddened we are at what you've gone through, and you're in our hearts, and keep on. I don't know how you're keeping on.
Well, I tell you, thank you, number one. And I have been overwhelmed by those who have prayed for us and have lifted us up. And candidly, Sean shared stories of a very similar nature to kind of what my wife dealt with. And she was a beautiful woman, the love of my life for the last 20 years, and we'll miss her desperately. At the same time, you know, she was her husband's biggest fan. She left me a note beside my bed the night after the election that said, "You're the man for this job, you're the man for Alabama, and I'm going to honor her by finishing the campaign strong." And so we're looking forward to the Tuesday, and then honestly probably a little bit of a break to kind of reflect and grieve at her loss.
And AG, as we were speaking during the commercial break, you're saying how your wife was for you for this race, and we just admire your strength and your daughters as well. And mm-hmm. as Sean said, we do pass along our condolences to you, Bet.
Yeah, so talking about this, getting through Tuesday, and the hurdles or the road bumps in there, I know we're reporting on one that has gone away as your opponent, Troy King, had brought a lawsuit. Criticize, what was the substance of this, if there was?
Well, I don't think there was. You know, Troy King does not have the support of the 27 Republican attorney generals across the country like I do, unanimously endorsed. In fact, we also received the endorsement of 23 Republican DAs this week. People that are just simply know his record and know what he's done and not done. You know, he criticized the fact that we received contribution from our Republican colleagues, filed, of course, he had multiple press conferences accusing the unethical conduct, had a lawsuit that was filed, and within 1 hour, a circuit judge here in Montgomery County not only denied his request to stop us receiving that money, but also dismissed his case. I mean, it was a frivolous action from a lawyer who wasn't very good as a lawyer in private practice and wasn't very good as a lawyer as attorney general, and it's reflective of the positions he's taken in the past. So we're very pleased with that. You know, it's a guy that simply wants to distract the discussion from his record, somebody that won't even come on your show and talk about it.
Right.
And so it's reflective of somebody that truly, 6.5 years as AG, was rejected by over 60% of Alabama Republican voters when he ran for re-election, and that's the record he stands on, and it's a record that he can't defend.
You know, this discussion of PACs and PACs to PAC transfers does bring up the bigger subject that I look at, whether it's the race you are in or the lieutenant governor's race or others. It seems to me there's a lot of money coming in here. And, you know, we look at this and as Alabamians go, well, you know, who else is interested in here? How does that affect you? When you, you know, obviously you have to have money to run a campaign and you get money from this group or that group. Even if it's not written out, which I would hope it wouldn't be, I mean, do you want to go ahead and send them a note and say, okay, I appreciate the money, but this doesn't mean anything? Or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, one thing I don't do is I don't look at who contributes to our campaign. One thing I do know is that we've had over 500 individual contributors from across Alabama and actually outside of Alabama in some cases who believe in our record. But if you take Troy King, for example, over $1 million of the money he's gotten in this campaign is coming from one man that manages six packs in Tuscaloosa. And if you try to track those records, I think you'll go back and pretty easily find that they're directly connected to gambling. You look at us, we've gotten contributions from farmers and foresters, from small business owners and business interests in the state and others who are contributing to Alabama's economy. It's been, you know, why we have the endorsement of the NRA. It's why we have the endorsement of Alabama Citizens for Life. It's why I have the endorsement of Alpha and Forestry and other business groups. It's because we're doing things in Alabama that make a difference in the lives of people in this state. We have a record that we can stand on, and it's one, again, that we're proud to be able to defend against my opponent.
All right. And speaking of what you do in the AG's office, and this is more, of course, on a national scope, and we've talked about it a bunch on the show, and I think a lot of listeners are engaged in this, but I think there's a lot of people that still hadn't heard about what may happen with the state of Alabama working off census data and possibly losing a congressional district, y'all. That means one less representative in Washington for the Yellowhammer State. Attorney General Marshall, what are you working on right now? Where does it stand on that complaint?
You know, that complaint is filed to be able to preserve Alabama's right, not only with our congressional representation, but don't forget that means that's an electoral college vote as well. I don't know about you, Sean, but I'm not very comfortable with California casting our presidential vote. So what we've done is challenge simply, I think, a common sense proposition, which is that for purposes of determining congressional apportionment, because remember, our congressional membership is a fixed number, and population determines the allocation of those numbers, that we only ought to determine for that number people who are in this country lawfully. That means that either they're citizens of this country or they have lawful status. And if you're not in here with that status, then you shouldn't be included in that number. And I think, again, not only does it make common sense, but it's consistent with the Constitution, it's consistent with what we believe is the appropriate rule of law. And so that case is now pending in the Northern District of Alabama. The Department of Justice has another couple of weeks before they can file an answer. We did have a group that supports illegal immigration in this country filed to intervene yesterday. So we're going to continue to fight on behalf of Alabamians to keep that additional congressional seat, but also continue to keep that vote in the Electoral College.
And I want to remind folks, too, because I got a note here, about an event you have coming up right here in Baldwin County.
Yeah, on Saturday we're going to be out at the Fair Hope Pier. I'm going to be joined by my good friend Pam Bondi, who's going to come over from Florida, the AG there, along with attorney generals from North Dakota and Idaho and Tennessee. I'm going to have a rally there with local law enforcement and other supporters, just kind of as a way of, again, telling Baldwin and Mobile counties, thank you for what you've done for us thus far, to remind them to be able to get out to vote on Tuesday, and again, be able to share a vision for what we have for this office that serves the people of this state. So we're looking forward to being there. I'm sure you're going to make the temperature a little cooler than it's been the last few days.
I wish.
But otherwise,
wish.
We look forward to being out there.
Speaking of looking at your planner, I'm looking ahead to Tuesday. So where have you decided where you are going or what time you're going to vote? And, of course, I know you know where to vote, but about what time you're voting. And with this being Friday the 13th, we're talking about superstitions.
Well, my dad was born on Friday the 13th, so that you are native. He was good, but now we're going to actually. I'm going to be with a family on a parole hearing that morning on Tuesday. To begin with, it's very important for me to be there. This is a case in which a gentleman previously received the death penalty, but because of the change in the law relating to juveniles, became eligible for parole, and want to make sure we keep this murderer in jail. And then we'll vote about 10 o'clock that day. And then I'm going to spend some time calling people, not only to thank them for their support, but also there's an awful lot of people that have been there for me over the last couple of weeks when I really needed some help. And so I want to make sure they know how much I appreciate that personally and that my family appreciates it. And then we look forward to the results and feel very confident about what the people of Alabama will do on Tuesday night.
Speaking of Uri, did you go back home and knock on some doors there? You go back through the...
I haven't, but my Uncle Bill has. So he's taking good care of me there, but golly, you know, it is always good to remember, you know, where you came from. And y'all know I'm from Atmore originally, and South Alabama was home. Dad ran the sporting goods store at Brandon's many years ago in Mobile, and had lots of conversations with people who remember my dad back in the day. And so you know, it's always good to be back down there. But yeah, we need to make sure we carry the Uri box, or else I'll be really disappointed.
I love it. If people want to get more information about you between now and Tuesday, where would you send them?
At stevemarshall.gop is our webpage. You can find out definitely a little bit about our positions on various issues we hadn't talked about before. But also, we're out on Facebook, and that's really going to be the place to keep up with the most recent announcements. And if folks are in North Alabama, we're going to have a final rally in Marshall County. But we'll have, again, five attorney generals from across the country here to talk about what we've done and really celebrate what's been a remarkable year, and also celebrate my wife a little bit as well, and to remember her in these final times.
Absolutely. And once again, our condolences. You are in our thoughts. Steve, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks. You'll have a great weekend.
Will do. Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall, joining us. And that event, once again, in Fairhope coming up tomorrow. We'll give you a reminder of that coming up in just a little bit so you can put it on the to-do calendar. All right. 820 FM Talk 106.5. Run the news break. Coming right back. Lots more to talk about here as we are just days out from the primary. Also, what's going on as President Trump is speaking along with Theresa May. I don't know that they're speaking to each other, but they're both speaking at an event there in London. We'll get to that. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Hey, tonight, it's Friday the 13th, of course, but it's lucky for you at Cottage Hill Package, right there in the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Yellowhammer Brewing Company coming to town, going to be there tonight starting at 6, debuting and giving you a chance to sample their Belgian White Ale, their Rebellion Red Lager, their Midnight Special Black Lager, their T-Minus Tangerine Kolsch Style Ale, their Miracle Worker Belgian Style Triple, and some surprises as well. It's one of those great events. You come out, you get to sample these beers, and, you know, before you buy a six-pack of a craft beer, it sure is nice to find out if you dig it or not, and that's why these events are so fun. Plus, they usually have swag, like stickers and hats and kind of cool stuff. If you can put something on your fancy cooler, and that they've got those as well. So stop by tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's called merch.
Yes, merch. Yes, they are merching it up. But you get that for free, so it's like free merch, which is even better. So yeah, think about this. You come out, sample some of those tonight. Also grab some of your favorite craft beers for the weekend. Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, cottagehillpackage.com, and find them on Facebook as well. And a reminder, and Andrew texted me yesterday, Andrew Manis, about we're just a couple weeks out from the opening of Havana Ray's Cigar Lounge in Midtown. Another great location for you to enjoy the Manis family's great service. Fine cigars, cocktails, wines, beer, leather chairs, big screens, just a place to kick back after work or after dinner, or stop by and shop during the day. Havana Ray's Lounge, probably within 2 weeks, opening up there at Morgan and Airport. And also Cottage Hill Package, right there at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. We'll see you there soon. All right, 827 FM Talk 106.5. And let's talk about this. You are busy today, tomorrow. Well, you're always, you can pretty much say that about you all the time. But where are you going to be?
Which day?
Well, where are you going to... Today, tomorrow.
Okay, so, this afternoon we'll be at Dean McQuarrie, of course, and we'll talk about the newest vehicle. But, yeah, this evening we'll be talking all things Blue Marlin Grand Championship.
Nice, because they've already weighed in a 507-pound
Blue
Marlin.
Yeah, so weigh-in started at 7 a.m. You got the text, and, you know, that happens. I mean, they come in, and then you have to wait to the official time to do such. But, of course, our buddy Jim Cox, he keeps us posted all things social media, and he's doing a lot of Facebook Live videos for those who have to actually go to work and they can't be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're almost there. Mm-hmm. And so it's very cool. I mean, this is a free event. Families are encouraged to come tonight. We will be live streaming, and then tomorrow night we'll be on my NBC 15. And it's just it's something that you can't even describe. But once you go, you have to go again.
It is. It's fun. I mean, I love obviously fishing tournaments, but the goings on.
The goings on. Yes, I like that. I mean, a couple thousand of your favorite people will be right there next to you, and you're watching as. It's just magnificent when you think about where we live, what's under the water, what's in the water, all the teams, you know, we talk about superstitions, we talk about all the teams, the family aspect, the women, the men, the children. I mean, this is such a fantastic event, and the weather has been so kind to cooperate with us each year, so we hope you come on down and check us out tonight, tomorrow night. It's fantastic. This is we call it the Super Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, and we're hoping to get 1,000-pounder.
Yeah, grander. Finally set that record for the state of Alabama. Also,
it's time.
Yeah, it is time. Marine forecast is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Seas 1 foot or less for today, tomorrow. I don't know about Sunday, but today, tomorrow. I was focused on tomorrow. Of course, the folks with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo have the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament going on tomorrow as well. Getting the kids out and getting them fishing. Tomorrow should be a very good day for that, at least weather-wise. Sunday, Dr. Bill will give us more in the forecast coming up. He said the rain chances increase then. President Trump and Prime Minister May speaking right now in London. Of course, this is all on the heels of that story that came out in The Sun that had many people there in England, and I think here stateside as well, talking a lot this morning. So some of the takeaways, without going into just reading you paragraph by paragraph, in the story in The Sun, President Trump's comments here, he accuses EU leaders of destroying its culture and identity by allowing billions of migrants. He also, he said, tore into a London mayor, Sadiq Khan, for not standing up to terrorists. He blamed Khan for spiraling crime in the capital. Also insisted former Secretary Boris Johnson would make a great prime minister. Obviously, saying that right there when you're standing next to the current prime minister.
Because he's the gentleman who resigned a few weeks ago.
Because of the way the Brexit thing was going too slowly.
There's two people.
Yes.
He's one of them.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The soft exit Brexit. I also
maintained a song waiting to be made.
I think so. Maintained that he would keep ties with Vladimir Putin, despite the Salisbury Novichok poisonings. Demanded Britain and other NATO countries spend more on defense, and I think that's the winner, by the way, in what the president's talking about. So, because it's not popular in the EU, should not reflect on us. I mean, are they paying what they're supposed to be paying? And if they're not, they should. I think that's one of the big takeaways. But yeah, right now, those two speaking, I think we could probably ice down a whole cooler of that craft beer with the stairs.
And also Trump previewing his meeting Monday with Putin, President Putin out of Russia. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Hey, thanks, Kane. Already up to 78 now at FM Talk 106.5. Dr. Bill says high mid-90s, heat indices over 100. It's pretty much a July forecast, if you ask me. I'll check back in with Doc here shortly. Also, heads up, we are out at Dean McCrary starting at noon today. Also, Kelly's going to be at the Blue Marlin Grand Championship, and I will be down at the rodeo site with kids tomorrow for the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. More on that coming up in just a little bit. All right, there's so many discussions going on right now, of course, with watching the President and Prime Minister May speak, of course, what's happening between now and Tuesday in the runoff, the primary runoffs going on. But one of the other stories that has been getting a lot of attention, especially for folks right here in Mobile, is a case now that is, I guess, more than a month old, maybe even more than that. And what's being done this week, of course, a hearing for Dunson. We've talked about Dunson this week. This hearing for Dunson, Douglas Dunson, who's accused of beating and trying to rape a woman in a parking garage downtown when she was going to work one morning. And then you had the side discussion here about bond, no bond, and what's the law and the condition of bond. And I want to bring on District Judge Bob Sherling to talk more about that with us right here on Mobile Mornings. Good morning, Judge.
Good morning. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here.
First thing I do every morning is turn on your radio station.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that endorsement. And can you help educate us what's at question here? A lot of us have heard the news headlines, watched the story come across our phone or something like that, but may not understand what is the key question to this.
Well, there are a lot of different issues involved, but I guess the first thing would be to look at what is a bail bond hearing. A bail bond hearing, someone is brought to court, they're told what they're charged with, and then the judge is charged with the responsibility of setting a reasonable bond. The Constitution requires in Article 1, Section 16, that every person who's charged with an offense other than capital murder is entitled to a reasonable bond. It doesn't matter what the person's background is, what their criminal history is, they're entitled to a reasonable bond. The rules of criminal procedure set out 14 different points that are to be considered in setting a bond: age, gender, criminal history, likelihood to flee, ties to the community. There are a lot of different things to look at, but they're entitled to a reasonable bond. Where the problem comes in is when somebody's already out on bond on another charge. When somebody's out on bond, they are they have the responsibility to abide by the law. And if they violate the law, then they violated the terms and conditions of their release on bond. So you're talking about two different things. You're setting a reasonable bond in the new charge, and then the district attorney can say, Judge, this person's already out on bond, or this person's already on probation. In that case, the DA files a motion to revoke bond in the old case. So the person is held, and they don't get out of jail, even though they have a bond on the new case, they don't get out of jail on the old case because they violated the terms and conditions of their release.
Judge Sherling, I'm looking at this too. Let's get the question here, because this came from Assistant District Attorney Tandis Hogan, who said, the purpose of a bond is to protect our community and to hold the defendant accountable since we're pending these criminal cases. Now, we've got to get down to, I guess, what we think. Is that the purpose of a bond?
The purpose of the bond primarily is to protect the public and to ensure the person returns to court. But the Constitution says you've got to set a reasonable bond. You can't just say, okay, Sean Sullivan, you have been arrested for burglary, and I think that you're likely to do this again, so I'm going to set a $150,000 bond. Would not be a reasonable bond under the circumstances.
And if I was a career burglar, that wouldn't you wouldn't take that into account in setting that bond.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, okay, say if I had done this many times, I had been in your courtroom many times,
sure,
accused
sure.
of this.
If you had done it many times, then I would set a higher bond.
Okay,
but what is a reasonable bond for somebody that has committed a burglary? $150,000 bond is something that they're not going to be able to make, and it's not reasonable for that particular charge. A Class A felony, other than a murder case or trafficking in drugs, is generally $60,000, but we routinely set higher bonds than that. That's the bond that's recommended by the Alabama Supreme Court on a Class A felony.
So you set the bond here for Dunson at $40,000, right?
Well, there's a little more to it than that.
Okay.
I set two bonds. First, the DA asked for no bond, and I held up my sign, which quotes Article 1, Section 16, and I said, what part of this do you want me to ignore? I'm required to set a bond on this new charge. She said, okay, I would ask for a $15,000 bond. I said, that's exactly what I was thinking. She said, okay, we're on the same page. And I said, $2,500 of that $15,000 has got to be in cash. The balance will be cash in corporate surety. There was another charge, and I set a $25,000 bond on that, and $2,500 of that $25,000 had to be paid in cash, the balance be cash or corporate surety. So in order to get out of the jail, the man's got to put up $5,000 in cash, and the balance could be through a bonding company. The reason we do that is a whole nother problem, because bonding companies are charging not 10% as they used to do, but they charge anywhere from 1% to 5%. And so when I set a bond, I have no idea what the person's stake in the case is going to be. They need to have a financial investment in the case that is going to get their attention, get them to come back to court, and hopefully make them realize that they're going to be in trouble if they don't come back to court and stay out of trouble.
Now, Judge Sherling, you mentioned that out of this $5,000 would be cash. In other words, that Douglas Dunson would have to produce $5,000 in cash. Is that, am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, there's a part of that, too. I mean, this is, and maybe you can correct me because I've not studied in this, but I would say, okay, there is, and you could answer this or not, but there's a way, if I was in your position, I could say, okay, I am compelled by the Constitution, I am required by the Constitution to offer this bond, but I'm looking at somebody here who probably will not come up with the $5,000. So, yes, they are given bond, but most likely they're going to stay in jail.
Most likely he's going to stay in jail. And you know what I'm looking at, what is a reasonable incentive in this case, and if it doesn't matter whether the guy's homeless or whether he's got $1 million in the bank,
that doesn't change.
I think that's a reasonable bond under the circumstances. You know, one thing the district attorney keeps going to is they're saying that there's a Supreme Court case that says you can keep somebody in jail if they're a risk to the community or a flight danger. The case that they have used to make that argument is not a case dealing with bond, it's a mental health case. And it says that you can hold somebody under or without a bond. You can hold somebody if they're a flight risk after they've had a hearing before a judge, after they've been examined by a physician, and had a jury trial. It doesn't have anything to do with the situation we're dealing with here, where we're trying to make sure that people come back to court and that they stay out of trouble in the meantime.
Well, that second part's the tough one, right? I'm looking at the text line. A lot of people texting in, Judge, saying, you know, all that's well and good, but you put people like this back out, and they commit another crime, and the community pays for it, one texter says.
Well, again, the judge is limited by what his oath is, and that is to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution says, I've got to set a bond. And I can't just set a bond and say, gosh, this is a tough situation. I'm going to set a bond so high that he can't make it. I'm charged with making a decision as to what's a reasonable bond under the circumstances.
And you're saying you're bound.
Another point, just very briefly, the judge is limited in what he's able to do. I was just telling the lawyer sitting here with me about a case in the fall of 2015 where a woman was out on probation. She violated the terms of probation. I revoked the probation and sent her to jail for a year. That was a maximum sentence in that case. Within 4 months, she was not only out of jail, she was back in my court, charged with committing the first murder of 2016. I had no control over that. And somebody looks at that and says, well, why was she out of the jail? I don't know. I sent her to jail for a year.
Would you petition, I mean, as a private citizen, would you petition for a change to the law? I mean, I understand what you're saying. The law says this. You've got the code is there, the Constitution in Alabama, but obviously when we get into rewriting the Constitution, that's a whole other discussion that could take a week's worth of shows. But would you, if for some reason we could have some special meeting of the Alabama Constitution to address that one part, would you back that?
Well, the bond circumstance is not where the problem is. The problem is at the other end of the hall, in my opinion. Just like I said, the person got out of jail in less than 4 months when I sentenced him to jail for a year.
The other end of the hall being who?
The Department of Corrections and the jail. That's where the people get out of jail. I've had a lawyer tell me that he had a client sentenced to prison on a drug charge. He got a call 4 days later, and the guy was on his way home. He got to Montgomery. They did his paperwork, and they sent him home. They don't have room to keep people. Well, that guy comes back to Mobile. What's he going to do? He's going to start selling drugs again.
And that's what frustrates.
It's not the court system that created that problem. It's at the other end of the pipeline.
Well, that, you know, and that, the result, you know, that's the thing that people go, they don't know what backstory you just told. They just know that that person is back in our community,
right,
and they're committing a crime, and people are throwing their hands up in the air saying, what is, I mean, how can we keep these people away from the good people?
One thing that people are not thinking about is that I live here too. I have a wife, children, grandchildren. I'm just as concerned as they are. I want to be safe. But, there are limitations on what everybody can do. Part of it is mandated by money. We don't have enough room in the jail or the prison to keep everybody there. We don't have a mental health system. A large number of things that we deal with are mental health cases, just like the one that you mentioned with the parking garage. I tried to get the lawyers to get a mental evaluation for this guy before he ever came up for a hearing, because I knew it was going to create a firestorm if I set a bond, which I am required to do. And I thought everybody would be better served if they had a mental health evaluation before we ever got to the bond hearing, but they chose not to do that.
Well, we're going to have a further discussion on this going forward. I'm tight on time here at the end of the hour, Judge, but I appreciate you checking in this morning, and we will address this some more going forward.
Well, I appreciate your time to talk to me.
All right. District Judge Bob Schirling joining us. Hopefully that maybe answered some questions for some folks out there. We'll talk about that a little bit coming back from the news break. And then remember, today, noon to 2, it's Dean McCrary, Mazda, East I-65 Service Road, and Midday Mobile. Hey, thanks, Kane. 857 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on the road today at Dean McCrary Mazda, where we will see...
Yes, the unnamed vehicle. The CX-9, I'm back in that, but I'm in the touring level. And what we're going to do is talk to you about the different levels of buying when you go ahead and purchase your next vehicle. The vehicle is an eye catcher. I got to tell you, Sean, met Tim Jordan yesterday. He's on his way to work in Mississippi right now. Huge fan of ours.
Yeah, hey, Tim, I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, and loving all things Mazda. So we'll see you at noon.
Yeah, absolutely. Our friends from Jersey Mike's bringing the sandwiches, and we're bringing the brand new FM Talk 106.5 Huggers. Also, some other logoed swag, some goodies, some merch.
Some merch.
We're going to bring the merch with us as well, and have a great time on a Friday afternoon. So we'll see you out there in just a few. Laura Ingram Show on the way next.